Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us this evening via YouTube or via your podcast, however you're accessing this fine show, we welcome you to the Illegal Curve, Curvecast. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, pleased to be joined via the wonderful technology by Ezra Ginsberg, the man who's below me on the screen, and the man on my left of the screen, Mr. Dave Manuk, is also here as well, wearing, I believe, a different Jays hat than you were wearing last week. If I'm not mistaken, Dave, is that correct?
You are actually mistaken.
Ah, okay. Well, there you go. So
my go-to Jays hat.
It is. I don't know if the color looks different. Is it always been black?
Yep.
Okay.
I do have a blue Jays hat, but I generally wear this one.
You generally wear that one. Okay. Well, it goes to show how much attention I pay when it comes to you guys. Anyways, gentlemen, Thursday evening. This will be up sometime Friday afternoon or so, but it is Thursday evening. Nice to see you both. How are you guys doing on this July the 2nd, a belated Happy Canada Day to you both. I celebrated it by not talking to either.
Yeah, Happy Canada Day, boys. And you know, I was going to say it's timely that Dave M is wearing that Blue Jays hat after they announced that training camp's going to continue in Toronto, not Dunedin, Florida, even though Dave's been wearing that hat for the previous four Zoom casts. But it was a good Canada Day. I mean, it's been super hot out. The weather has really been cooperating lately. It's a little bit too hot, if you ask me. But
you're a schwitzer. You're a schwitzer in the best of times.
Drew, I'm outside for 3 or 4 minutes, and my back is completely covered in sweat. So I've been going through 3 or 4 t-shirts a day for sure.
That was going to be my question. Yeah, no. How many t-shirts on Canada Day did it go for you there, big boy?
3 or 4, I'm telling you. Every, you know, few hours I was, you know, changing the t-shirt. But that was good. We just had my dad and his girlfriend over, and we just took it easy and ordered a little food for dinner. And it was great. I mean, Canada, it's funny, guys. I was thinking, I imagine you guys were thinking about this as well, but I mean, this is usually free agent frenzy, right?
And instead, yeah, I was thinking about that.
You know, we're talking about hockey coming back in a month. It's just weird because, you know, this is kind of, you know, towards the end of the year for us, right? Because we usually take August off, but not this year.
No, of course, free agent frenzy sounds like, we'll get into it in more detail, sounds like that'll be November 1st this year, not instead of July 1st. Bob McKenzie sort of breaking down the what the calendar might look like if they finally come to an agreement on a return to play in phase 3 and phase 4 and all that jazz. Dave, good to see you on this Thursday evening. How are you doing? How was your Canada Day? Were you visiting one of our provincial parks?
No, I didn't. Yesterday it was not the greatest day. I think I went to work in the morning actually, and then but it was nice swam in the afternoon. So I managed to enjoy the day a little bit. But
what did you do, Dave? Was it front crawl or was it elementary backstroke or just doggy paddle? Or
there was some sculling actually. I did some sculling. No big deal. Bronze cross back in the day. Maples Pool, also known as Seven Oaks Pool. And then I just took it easy. Did a little barbecue at night, and that was it. That was my Canada Day.
Well, I know Ezzy was disappointed with the absence of a fire pick, sushi pick, and a dog pick. So it wasn't your typical Canada Day for Dave M. But
I did post some pictures of Manitoba, though, that people seem to enjoy. So beautiful province we have. And the one thing I'm finding is, you know, and Ezzy knows this because he goes out to near Lac-Mégantic, but more and more people are discovering how beautiful our province are as a result of this COVID. So, I mean, obviously this COVID is a terrible thing, but one of the positives, I think, are people coming to appreciate just how fantastic Manitoba can be and all the different things you can do in our province.
When is Tourism Manitoba going to hire you, Dave? That's the question here. If you're all these people out to these parks, I think it's time to hire you.
You know what? I wouldn't want to do it. It's funny because I remember my mom was like, you should write a book. And I was like, I don't want to. Like, I like doing this just to enjoy and relax. And
it's also been written.
I would write it.
You would write it, you know. I think Barthy wrote a Day Tripper's Guide to Manitoba.
Sure.
Dave Manuk, greater than Barthy.
No, I would do it differently.
You'd do it differently. Fair enough. I can accept that. Let's get started talking a little bit of hockey after that little kibitzing to get the Zoom cast started. The draft lottery, it seems like it was a long time ago. It was actually only about 6 days ago. And chaos, you know, we talked about chaos last week on the Zoom cast.
You must have been so happy.
Well, that's what I said. I said I always cheer for chaos, and that's what we got on the draft lottery. And that
go team placeholder.
Yeah, go team placeholder. We don't know who is going to win the right to draft Alexei Lafreniere after team placeholder won the draft lottery. Is that an embarrassment to the NHL, or do you think that that's just sort of in keeping with the chaos that we've seen so far throughout 2020 as a year?
I don't think it's an embarrassment, guys. I just think that, you know, especially if you live in, well, not necessarily live, but if you're a Detroit Red Wings fan, if you're an Ottawa Senators fan, it's maybe embarrassing. I don't think it's embarrassing for the NHL. I think they would probably tell you that they're not going to tell you publicly, but they're probably happy about that because that means that there's going to be another draft lottery, right? So it depends who you ask, I guess, but I just think it's hilarious because we talked about it last week. I kind of, you know, joked that, you know, I was putting my money down on the Ottawa Senators, who obviously had the better odds, right? But I mean, I don't want to say the biggest losers of the draft, but the biggest disappointment of the draft has to be the Red Wings, right? You could have had the first overall pick, and you could make a strong argument, guys, that the Detroit Red Wings need Alexei Lafreniere more than any of those other teams that we're talking about, right? LA Kings, Ottawa Senators. I mean, LA obviously gets the second overall pick, and they would have liked to have a higher pick, but you go from potentially first overall, Dave, to fourth overall. Dylan Larkin is obviously, you know, the Red Wings' best player, mm-hmm. but, you know, the drop-off, you know, after that is pretty significant, right? They've got some good young players in the system. You know, Philip Zadina is a guy, you know, that you can get really excited about. You know, Anthony Mantha is a guy I really like. But you look at Alexei Lafreniere, he's a guy that's going to be, you know, a first-line winger. So for me, that was a big disappointment for Detroit. But I just don't think it's an embarrassment, Drew, because it's funny, right? We still don't know who has the first overall pick, and nobody expected it.
I think the interesting thing is also the fact that if you collectively took the teams – the placeholder teams, I think, what was it? They had a 25 or 24% shot of, they actually had the best odds collectively.
Yes.
Of winning that top overall pick. But I think, you know, the thing that I enjoy the most, like, I don't really care whichever team gets it. But I think what aspect of it I'm enjoying are the conspiracy theories. I love the fact that people think, like, this is the NHL, like, trying to get the pick to Pittsburgh. Or trying to get the pick to Chicago. I mean, it is, if you look at it, right, if depending obviously on how this works out, obviously if the winner of the play-in series, you know, if it's one of those eight teams, which would each have a 12.5% chance of winning, which would obviously include the Jets, or if the hockey doesn't end up happening, then the Jets are one of eight teams also that would have a chance at that spot, but along with teams like the Rangers, Chicago, and Montreal. So, I mean, could you imagine if he went to Montreal? I mean, what would that do for that market?
Can you imagine if he goes to Edmonton? We've got Dustin Nielsen coming on.
The world would go crazy.
The thought of him ending up in Edmonton actually makes me a little bit ill, and that's nothing to do with the city of Edmonton. It's just to do with the Oilers organization and the luck, the blind luck that they have had. I mean, when they got McDavid, it was sort of nauseating. Never mind if they were to get, if they were to be a quote unquote playoff team and then win the first overall pick again. I think people would just be sick. They would just be sickened by the entire idea. And the Oilers would win multiple Stanley Cups. I mean, well, they should, but these are the Oilers we're talking about. But you go up the middle or with Dreisaitl, McDavid, and Lafreniere, that's a pretty good trio to go up the middle with. But God willing, that won't happen because I don't think people can handle that idea at all. But
Lafreniere is a winger, Drew.
He's not a centerman?
No.
Oh, sorry. Well, there you go. My bad. I was going to ask you about this. You know, what about the idea of from a Jets perspective? You know, there's people that saying, oh, the Jets should lose in the first round. Obviously, the players will never deliberately lose. But as a consolation prize, what do you think about that idea, you know, for Winnipeg Jets fans to hold their hat on?
Well, I mean, that's what I wrote up on the site. I said, like, first of all, the team, that's the one question you never ask players, because players don't care. Players want to win. Players don't care what's going to happen to an organization. Now, he's different because he could make a difference on a team next year. Whereas, you know, most players, you're especially draft picks, right? You're looking at a player who's going to make an impact 2-3 years down the line. So, but you can't ask players about it because they don't care. But from a fan base perspective, I mean, you're ecstatic because you're, first of all, your primary goal always, every fan base, I would imagine, is the Stanley Cup, right? And you're hoping your team is going to win the Stanley Cup. But I mean, it's a pretty good consolation prize to see that your team has a 1-8 shot of being the first overall pick, because especially if you're not one of those seven teams that didn't even make this play-in series, your team's probably not that bad. You know, you may have a hole here, a hole there, but again, you know, a player like that, or really any of these, you know, kind of upper echelon players, really could have a huge impact on your organization. So you're feeling okay if you don't win this, if your team doesn't make it, because to your point, Drew, this is a huge consolation prize.
Has he?
Yeah, I agree. But what fan, a real fan, is going to say that they would rather, you know, have a shot at first overall than win the play-in series? Like, I think that's just ridiculous. Like, if anything, it should be the teams that really have no business it being in the qualification round, right? And Dave mentioned that earlier. I mean, you're talking about Chicago, you'd throw Montreal in there. But we know that if you get a hot goaltender, you know, who knows what can happen, right? So, I mean, losing doesn't guarantee you the first overall pick. That's the thing. You just said it. It's what are we talking about? A 12% shot?
12.5.
Yeah.
12.5%.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess, you know, it would be nice. But the other thing is, Alexis Lafreniere, to me, and I think most scouts, is not in the same class as a Connor McDavid or an Austin Matthews. He's going to be a really good player. But if we were talking about one of those types of players, maybe I would say you'd rather lose and, you know, get a shot at first overall. But going back to what you asked about earlier, Drew, I just think it's funny that, you know, a team has a chance to you know, qualify for the playoffs, especially those teams that had no business being there. Montreal, Chicago, again, I hate to pick on you, but those were teams that had no shot of making the playoffs in, you know, mid-March. So, again, it's just, like you said, it's chaos, it's funny, and, you know, we're going to have another draft lottery come August.
Yeah, so that is, according to Bob McKenzie's latest calendar, published on, it's on TSN.ca, they're expecting that in and around August 10th. So after the play-in series concludes, with that starts on August 1st, and it takes 10 days to do, which sort of makes sense, given you know, how quickly they'll try and play those games. Around that first, second week of August, somewhere around there, they'll do the second draft lottery for the chance to pick first overall in, of course, a unprecedented and you know, slightly chaotic world that we're currently living in. Getting back to the Winnipeg Jets, and I see that Dustin Nielsen is going to jump on with us now, so I'm going to let him into the Zoom cast room here. But getting to the Winnipeg Jets briefly, it sounds like the Jets are on their way back into town.
What's going on?
Dustin Nielsen from TSN in TSN Radio in Edmonton. How are you, Dustin? Thanks for joining us. I think you're still connecting the audio. There you go. Dustin, you there? Can you hear us?
Yeah, hey, I'm here. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. We're good.
I'm doing all right.
That's good. Thank you. Appreciate you joining us. We were just sort of touching on the, it's only been, you know, 6 days or so, the draft lottery and the chaos that ensued there with team placeholder getting first overall. And, you know, the Hub City announcement, which is expected, you know, any minute now, if not any hour now, where it sounds like Edmonton and Toronto are going to be the Hub City. So I guess I'll start off by saying, as an Edmontonian, congratulations, question mark. I'm not sure if it's a point of pride or if it's a point of concern for Edmontonians as the NHL will descend upon its city.
Well, of course, you probably are talking about how the Oilers are going to lose to the Hawks and win the draft lottery and get Alex Lafreniere. Is that what we're thinking about? As far as the draft lottery thing, or as the Hub City thing goes, it's interesting. I mean, we were talking about this morning on my show, and I, you know, it wasn't a ton of overwhelming, like, yay, celebrate, we've got the Hub City. I threw out a poll question early in my show, and I haven't looked at the results in the last little while here, but there was three options. One was you're happy that we're going to become a hub city. One was you don't care. And one was, you're anti-hub city. And it was about 47% said they're happy for it. 47% said they don't care. And 6% said they were disappointed. So either people are happy or they really don't care either way. So I know the province here kind of built it as, you know, an opportunity to take an economic boost. But let's be honest. I mean, it's National Hockey League coming to live in a hotel downtown.
Yeah.
And a few restaurants will get a bump. And obviously, Oilers Entertainment Group as the host will obviously get a pretty good bump as well. But outside of that, I don't see a major impact on the community.
No, it's whoever owns. Is it a Sutton Place that's attached to the in the ice?
It's a Marriott, and I think there are some big wigs that have some money involved in that hotel, so they're probably going to do all right. Like we said today, the rich get richer. Basically, is what's happening. So
that's the rule of thumb for life, I think, in 2020, no matter what. But I got to tell you, Dustin, based on that poll, I'm surprised that the sort of the rejecting of the hub city number is so low. I thought more people would express some concern with bringing in all these, you know, we'll call them outsiders, into a city that has done very well COVID-wise, just much like it has here in Winnipeg.
You know what, man? I thought that number would be a little bit higher too. I was shocked when I saw it pop up, like basically 5-6%. You never see that on any Twitter poll. There's usually some sort of bump for something. And it was weird because in the whole process of discussing it, I did sense a little bit of negativity coming in, at least on like our text line at TSN 1260. But I think most of the negativity was actually because of how desperate the city of Edmonton looked and the province looked, right? That I think that's people are like, why are we begging and like bending over for the National Hockey League to come here when Edmonton is the best case scenario anyway? It's got a perfect facility. COVID numbers are low. And in the end, it's kind of a slap in the face because they wanted to go to Vegas and Vancouver. Then Vancouver bowed out. So then they wanted to go to Vegas and Toronto. And then Vegas, I mean, you can't possibly go there. So Edmonton, despite having a perfect fallback plan, is still the third or fourth choice for this entire thing, which I think is, I mean, that's classic National Hockey League at Edmonton. I mean, what else are we supposed to expect?
Dustin, I know you have Ryan Rashog on regularly, and he has a piece up on TSN.ca, and he specifically mentioned the testing. And I mean, I think all of us agree with you that, you know, Edmonton, especially with the numbers in the state of Nevada, I mean, it's a no-brainer. And we were all hoping that, you know, it would be Edmonton and Toronto, even though, you know, we were expecting it to be one Canadian city, one American city. But how big of a factor do you think that was, the testing? Because it seems like, you know, that was something that, you know, some other American cities just, they couldn't match that.
Yeah, that was one of the things that Edmonton has had going for it basically since the beginning, because I mean, all along the way, we've been a leader in testing, not just, you know, in Canada, but basically in all of North America. Our Alberta Health has done an excellent job getting people tested. And now it's to the point where you don't even have to have symptoms and you can go get tested here in Alberta. So they've obviously got, you know, a high number of tests. That was something we were talking about like probably over a month ago, how they were already in a position where players could come here and probably get tests daily, if not every second day, and everybody included in that bubble. And that might be like 500-600 people when it's all said and done. So, well, it probably will be 500-600 people. So that's a lot of tests, but at no point, that's probably, that might be why there hasn't been a ton of negativity around it, because everybody in the province knows that we've done an excellent job, you know, testing basically the population. And so there's no pressure here. We're not taking tests away from anybody who would need them, which I think is big. Overall, it's funny because, you know, from a testing perspective, Edmonton and the province of Alberta, you know, they have the capacity to get that done. Great facility. And now the Stanley Cup as well is going to be here. And I thought for sure, I said on my show this morning, I'd be shocked if they didn't put the Stanley Cup in Toronto because it's Toronto. And, you know, if you're going there to a bubble anyway, are you really concerned about the COVID numbers because you're supposed to be in this super tight bubble? So I was a little surprised when Mackenzie said today that the NHL was going to bring it. It's the quarantine cup. It's being good at trying to keep the numbers down has paid off, and the Stanley Cup will be in Edmonton.
Well, city of champions again in Edmonton.
For somebody.
If it's not the Oilers, it's somebody else. Dustin Nielsen from TSN 1260 joining us on the Illegal Curve cast. It's Thursday evening. This is being recorded. Dustin, the Oilers, they get the Blackhawks in the play-in series. Is that a good matchup from your perspective? I mean, it's a very battle-tested Blackhawks team in a best-of-five series. It seems like you wouldn't want to go up against a Jonathan Taves-led team that's got Patrick Kane on it as well in a short series like that.
Yeah, well, your former Oiler Drake Kajula is going to absolutely sink the team. I mean, that's probably what happens. He's going to score four goals. The Oilers are going to be eliminated, and everybody's going to lose their mind that they let Kajula go at some point. But you know, all joking aside, if you look at the Chicago Blackhawks, I think I'd rather play them in a best of seven than a best of five, simply because the Oilers have had a hard time containing Patrick Kane over the last night. Look, Kane has torched the majority of the league, but he's done extremely well against the Edmonton Oilers. And I was talking about this on Regina or Saskatoon radio today, and they asked me about this series a little bit. And I'm very interested to see how this goes. Like, Will a team that wants to shut down Patrick Kane have the upper hand because Kane hasn't played for a while? Maybe he's a little rusty and you can get into some defensive systems and try to shut him down. Or will it be the other way around where a team that hasn't been together for 4 months is still trying to figure out how to play together defensively again and Pat Kane just picks him apart? So the Pat Kane angle definitely concerns me. With that being said, on the other side, if McDavid and Draisaitl get hot, they could torch the Hawks and it could be a sweep. The most interesting thing about this series is between the pipes, for the Oilers – we'll have some sort of combination of Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen. But if Corey Crawford is healthy, this is a Stanley Cup winner who might be sitting there going, got another run in. It doesn't have to be as spectacular as some of the other ones. So I think the Oilers, they're the favorite in the series. I would be picking them, but I don't think the Hawks are a pushover, even though they've had a really tough season. Chicago is one of those teams where this whole reset, this whole 4 month off could really help them, to be honest with you. So, we'll see what ends up happening. But I will say this. I think it'll be one of the more entertaining qualifying round series for sure.
Dustin, I guess the question for after Friday's lotto draft, are folks in Edmonton going to be super upset if they do get eliminated with that possibility of another number one pick coming to Edmonton?
Well, you know what? It'll be a little silver lining for sure. It's weird because let's say they play Chicago and they lose in 4 or 5 games. I mean, is the entire community going to be pissed off at the team, or are they just going to be mad that this is the situation that we found ourselves in? Like, this is not a regular year. So if the Oilers were to lose in the Blackhawks, there's going to be nobody saying, blow this up. I can't believe they lost to the Hawks in a gimmicky best of 5 when they haven't played in 4 months. So instead, you're sitting there going, well, tough break. Pat Kane had 9 points in 4 games and they beat us. Now we get a 12.5% chance at the first overall pick, which just, it blows my mind that all of the, there's a number of really good teams that are going to have 12.5% chance to get this kid. So he's the biggest winner out of all of it. Lafreniere is going to, I mean, a quasi playoff team, but if you add him to any of these teams, they're all playoff teams next year. So if the Edmonton Oilers get eliminated by the Blackhawks, the rest of the National Hockey League should be very concerned, because if you thought the McDavid lottery was something, wait until you see the Oilers end up with the first overall pick. It would be unfair. Like, it would honestly be unfair.
Dustin Nielsen from TSN 1260 in Edmonton is our guest. You're listening to the Illegal Curve cast, talking about Edmonton as a hub city, talking about the Oilers and the Blackhawks in that first round playoff matchup. You know, Dustin, we never, you know, should they even be doing this from your perspective? I mean, it's a foregone conclusion that it's going to happen. We know that the restart is going to happen. It's probably going to happen, you know, with training camp starting, you know, they say 10 days from now, July 13th is the day that's being used now as the target date. From your perspective, I know I've sort of asked this question of all the guests we've had on over the last little while. Should they even be engaging in this exercise from your perspective?
In the overall bigger picture, probably not. I mean, the one thing that frustrates me the most, and I do think everything will be fine. I mean, you look at the PGA Tour and they've had some tests and they pushed through, and we have to just understand that if these sports leagues, the NBA, I mean, I don't know what happens with the NFL. They might still have fans, and like they're an untouchable beast. But you have to realize that if you're going into this, there are going to be positive tests. And if you're okay with that from a National Hockey League perspective, then you need to push through and finish it. The thing that frustrates me the most about this is that we are going through something like we've never seen anything like this in our lifetimes. Okay. And the National Hockey League has had no problem writing off a season or a half season because of labor negotiations. Yet here we are with a global pandemic and hundreds of thousands of people are dying, and they're pushing through because they want to get the money. So the next time the National Hockey League, and I know if they get the CBA done, it might be a little while, but the next time the National Hockey League has a work stoppage, I am going to be calling them out heavily, because if you can find a way to push through when there's a global pandemic, you can't tell me that you can't find a way to get things done in a regular time. So I'm a little disappointed with, you know, the back and forth that we've seen in the league in the past, and all of a sudden with this, like, they're negotiating a CBA in like 6 days. Mm-hmm. How many times has it taken 6 months to get this done? Like, it's embarrassing, actually. But I want to see it, like, selfishly, from a radio host perspective, I want to see this. I want to talk about this. From a fan perspective, I mean, I don't know if I've really missed it that much, which is kind of eye-opening for me, because I mean, every night I'm watching NHL hockey, I'm watching NBA, and it's been gone for a while. And you kind of get into this new normal where if they said, you know what, we're going to play it safe, we're not going to come back until January. I mean, for my radio show, it would suck the big one, but overall, it wouldn't be the end of the world for me. So I just hate the fact that this isn't driven by anything but money. And I understand that's how business works, but at the same time, it doesn't look great, to be honest.
And it doesn't help that it's early July and it's, 35 Celsius out there and everybody's making plans to go to the cottage and go camping, right? But just getting back to what you talked about earlier, Dusty, with the goaltending, and I think Edmonton, has just as good a shot as anybody else to go on a long playoff run when you've got McDavid and Draisaitl. Mike Smith has that history with Dave Tippett, and, we know that Koskinen, his numbers were much better than Mike Smith. But when you look at, some of the teams around the league, we had Jesse Granger on a couple of weeks ago, speaking of Vegas and the fact that we thought it was a foregone conclusion that they were going to be up. We talked about Marc-Andre Fleury and Robin Lehner, and, arguably Edmonton, aside from Vegas, has that, 1A, 1B goaltender. But in your mind, is it Koskinen all the way? I imagine you guys have been talking about this quite a bit on your show.
Yeah, I think it'll be Mike Smith to start for sure, because you mentioned he's Tippett's guy. Like, I would think that Smith would get game one. And the thing with Mike Smith is last year in the playoffs, he was phenomenal for the Calgary Flames. I mean, Colorado absolutely torched the Flames. And the only reason the Flames were even remotely close to possibly being involved in that series is because of Mike Smith. So I said it at the beginning of the year, I figured the Oilers would be in a spot to get into the playoffs if one of their goalies went on like a 15 to 20 game heater. And they got a little bit of that from both of their guys, not to that stretch, but solid 7-8 games here from Mike Smith, solid 7-8 games here from Mikko Koskinen. So it'll be very interesting to see how a team that has literally juggled two guys basically in an entire year, and Tippett's done a really good job of going to the right guy at the right time. Like, for a two goalie system in a hockey mad market here in Edmonton, the fact that I'll go in the morning after a game and people really aren't criticizing the goaltending decision ever, It goes a long way to how Tippett can run these two goalies. But I would think the veteran guy, Koskinen's never started a playoff game, so it'd be a little silly to put him in this very unique spot. So I think they would start Smith. If he struggles mightily, and he might. I mean, we've seen Mike Smith have some absolute stinkers along the way. He might shoot two pucks into his own net at some point. And if that's the case, then I don't think they'll hesitate to go to Koskinen. But Mike Smith is very much capable of getting on a heater here and stealing at least a round at some point. And if you can have McDavid and Draisaitl are going and you have a goalie who can steal a round at one point or the other, I mean, you might be able to make a little bit of noise.
Dustin Nielsen is our guest on the IC Curve cast. We're talking about the Edmonton Oilers. We're talking about the city of Edmonton as a hub city. And, of course, their first round play-in round matchup with the Chicago Blackhawks.
So, Dustin, got to ask you, how seriously do folks in Edmonton think this team is about actually challenging for a Stanley Cup? Because, it would be poetic if the Edmonton Oilers are battling for the Stanley Cup in Edmonton. First time since 93 to have a Canadian team actually potentially win it. Well, I guess it's happened a few times since, but to actually win it in Edmonton would be unbelievable. But are folks actually taking the Oilers seriously in the city? Do they think that this team has a serious shot at challenging for the Cup?
It's a good question. If we were to sit down tomorrow on my show and say, hey, give us a list of Cup contenders, I don't think the Oilers pop up on a lot of lists, even from a homer perspective. Mm-hmm. But in a year that is so wide open and so drastically different than anything we've ever seen. And it might be more difficult. It might be easier because there's no travel or anything like that. And there's no home fans. But this is unheard of times. We've never seen professional hockey played the way that it's going to be played, which I think is rather interesting to look at it that way. And if that is the case, when you have two of the top four or five players in the National Hockey League, that could give you a significant advantage, especially if those guys come in ready to play. So I would probably group the Oilers, and I think most people here in Edmonton would probably group the Oilers in like that second tier of you know, teams that could win it, you wouldn't be super shocked because they've got two star players. But, you know, not down in that group of teams that you're looking at and going, man, do they even belong in this expanded playoff? So, you know, I'm sure if they get by the Hawks, the momentum will start to build in this city. And, hey, if you can knock off Kane and Tate, you can knock off anybody. And that'll be great. I mean, the National Hockey League, we've never – this is great from a jealous, selfish radio perspective, but we've never had National Hockey League playoffs in our fall ratings book. So this is going to be incredible. I can't wait. So it should be pretty fun. As long as the Oilers aren't eliminated by August 10th, This should be fun.
That's right. If they're gone very quickly, then it's going to maybe put a dent in the ratings, or you're going to be doing your off season analysis during the start of the regular season.
If that's the case, then you get stock lottery. So yes. it'll be amazing. It's a win. It's honestly a win here right now.
It is a really weird situation. You know, we've heard the phrase unprecedented so many times, it's lost all meaning, but it is an unprecedented scenario we're in. I asked these guys, Dave, I asked Dave and Ezzy earlier, Dustin, about the Bill Daly unveiling the team placeholder card. And I said, you know, is that an embarrassment for the NHL? Do you think that's an embarrassment for the NHL to have team placeholder win your first overall pick, regardless of who team placeholder ends up being? You're on a national broadcast in the United States and you don't have a winner, really.
I think it was an unnecessary thing to do. Like, what you did here was you put yourself in a spot, mm-hmm. and it ended up being the case, but you put yourself in a spot to open the league up to being humiliated by everybody, right? Like, there just wasn't even, like, what's the difference between that lottery have already happened and doing it August 10th, when they're going to do the phase two lottery anyway? There was outside of Sportsnet trying to get a bump, and I understand where they're coming from, but at the same time, I didn't PVR the draft lottery this year. Like, I didn't really care too much about the draft lottery this year. Maybe that's because Edmonton didn't have much of a chance at it, but like, I wasn't sitting on pins and needles waiting for a draft lottery happen in late June when the draft's not going to be happening. The season's technically not even over yet. Like, it just seemed there was no reason to do it. So what you did was, I guarantee the National Hockey League was like, come on, three of those top seven. Just give us three of the top seven so we don't need to do this. And then sure enough, you flip over a placeholder and you go, okay, we'll do it again in a month and in 10 days. And a team that actually has a chance to win the Stanley Cup is going to get the best player in this year's draft. Like, I just felt it was an unnecessary reason to open yourself up to some criticism when you could have just waited. Would any of you guys or myself or anybody else criticize the NHL for waiting until August 12th to do the draft lottery?
No.
Like, there wouldn't have been any criticism at all, because that's probably the way it should have been done. So, I mean, I had a little fun poking it at them. I mean, and a lot of people did, but that's what they did. They opened themselves up to that. So as long as they're okay taking the heat and being the butt end of a few jokes, I guess it's not. And but I really understand why they needed to be like, you have enough. And right now, with the Hub City thing swirling around, that you're still, especially our Canadian markets, you're still right at the top of the conversation. So I don't know if you needed to put yourself in that type of spotlight.
So, Dustin, I want to go back to, you know, Edmonton as a hub city, because that obviously, you know, is the biggest news of the last couple of days. And, you know, Bob McKenzie's been tweeting about that on an hourly basis. So if you're not following him on Twitter, then you're not doing it right, because you basically have to be following the Bob Father this time of year. So when you talk about, you know, and I know Ryan Rashog, you know, touched on it a little bit, and we talked about the hotels and everything like that, but do we know what extent the city of Edmonton has gone through in preparation for this? Because like we talked about earlier, a couple of weeks ago, it looked like it was a foregone conclusion it was going to be Vegas, but do you know what other types of preparations the city has done to get ready for this? Because like you talked about, we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of athletes and team staff and everything like that. So this isn't a small undertaking.
Yeah, not so. I don't know much from like the details of an absolute, you know, bubble perspective. Like, for example, I mean, the workers at the arena, the workers at the hotel, I mean, they're not going to be bubbled up, I would think. So they're still going to be going home and coming back in. We did get a lot of good details on what the overall bid looked like, just because they were so public about the entire process. They posted that video that got hammered online, that was a video of Edmonton.
Jasper moving to Edmonton?
Yeah, that was the I get it. So they said, well, no, it was to promote the province. But if that's the case, then so families are coming up from the United States and then just going out to the mountains and then coming back and going back into the bubble. Like, so a lot of it hasn't made ton of sense just yet. It does look like everybody is going to stay at the Marriott downtown, which is connected to the rink. So, I mean, technically, if somebody didn't want to go outside at any point, they wouldn't have to go outside at any point. They're basically described it as like an Olympic-style village. So the entire area around the arena will basically be cordoned off, and the players will have an opportunity. They're going to have like some outdoor screens so they can watch movies. There's going to be golf simulators set up. They're arranging it so that players will have access to, of course, town to go on off days and go hit the links if they want. And insert playoff golfing joke here because I don't get out of it. And then one thing that just popped up over the last little while, Shog, who's done an excellent job covering this thing, like he's basically been political in the last 6 weeks trying to figure out the ins and outs here of the push from the province. They're going to be busing everybody down to a place here in town called the Terwilliger Rec Center, which is a very popular rec center in Southwest Edmonton that has four ice surfaces. So they'll be busing players from downtown, probably about a 20-minute bus ride to get down to Terwilliger, and then they'll be doing a lot of practicing down there and then bubbling back. So they'll have to kind of quarantine at least a part of that facility off. So it'll be interesting to see the old ping pong scenario. It's going to be kind of weird though. Like you're Chicago in the playoffs and hey, I'll see you guys tonight at the ping pong table. Let's have some fun. Like that alone is another reason why hey, I'll be very interested to see where the, like how long does it take for the playoff intensity to get built up? Cause what drives playoff intensity? Hate.
Yeah.
And fans. I mean, having a fan atmosphere really gets playoff intensity going. You have no fans, and if you happen to be lurking around with some of these other guys who you might be buddies with usually, but you're not going to hang out with during the playoffs, it's a weird little vibe. That bubble, like what they should do, and maybe they will, they should record like some sort of documentary inside the bubble to release, you know, in November or something so we can all kind of get a look at it. Because from what I'm thinking, the media is probably not going to be allowed inside there and it'll be a bunch of Zoom stuff like this, which is probably the right way to go. But I think Edmonton put together a really good bid, so much so that like 4 weeks ago, I was sitting there going, look, I think our province looks ridiculous for coming across as desperate as they are. Because the National Hockey League should be knocking the door and being like, hey, Edmonton, can we please come there? You've got the perfect facility and super low numbers. Like it was kind of a perfect storm. And eventually they ended up coming here unless, of course, something falls apart in like the next 24 hours.
Which means it probably will fall apart in the next 12.
Yeah, if
history is any indicator as things work out. Dustin Nielsen from TSN 1260 in Edmonton is our guest on the Illegal Curvecast. Thursday evening, this is being recorded. You know, we talked about this last week, Dustin, and I sort of went a little bit off on it. To me, Kevin Lowe is not a Hall of Famer. I don't know what the perspective is, your perspective on the ground in Edmonton, if it's different than my perspective. But
you won't let this go, Dustin. You just won't let it go. Six Stanley Cups, man. Six Stanley Cups.
Doesn't matter. This is a guy who, I mean, you know, to me, it's the perfect example of what's wrong with the Hall of Fame in my perspective. The NHL has watered it down and it's so much of an old boys club and it's the Hall of Very Good and Who You Know, as opposed to the Hall of Fame. My perspective, I'm not going to put words in your mouth.
You know what? You're not entirely wrong. I mean, the Hockey Hall of Fame has been watered. Even Kevin Lowe came out and said, you know, I didn't really think I was a Hall of Fame. That's reserved, in his opinion, for the Bobby Orrs, the Wayne Gretzky's, the Gordie Howes. And maybe that's how it should be. Maybe the Hall of Fame should be, you know, Sidney Crosby when he retires, Alexander Ovechkin, and not the Cam Neelys and some of those types of guys, right? Like, great hockey players, but if you really want to make it the elite of the elite, then make it the elite of the elite. If it's one guy every 3 years, then it's one guy every 3 years. But that's not how this has worked. I mean, they're putting in three or four guys every year. And it's interesting. My opinion on the whole Kevin Lowe thing for me has changed. And I'm not a huge Oilers homer by any stretch of the imagination. The Oilers, in fact, will tell you that themselves. But Like 10 years ago when I came to town, if somebody would have had that conversation with me, I would have been like, yeah, it's probably not happening. What do you have, like 40 points in his career, like as a career high on his high scoring team? I've got to know him a little bit, not a lot, but I hosted, he got inducted into the Hockey Alberta Hall of Fame last year. And I hosted that induction ceremony in Canmore, and his speech was incredibly emotional. Like you could just, like, he's a really nice guy. And like I said, it's the night of night. So I'm saying that opinion swayed a little because I know him. I kind of know him now, and he's a really nice guy, and he's huge for this community. So I don't want to say too many bad things about him.
He had to bring it up.
Well, but no, but here's the thing. So, was looking at, and this might be a stretch, but if you want to justify, two you can do to justify it. One, I think there should be a place in the Hall of Fame for players who were among the best at what they did during their time. And Kevin Lowe was one of the best defensive defensemen in the 1980s. He just was. And if you're only going to base the Hall of Fame on points, then it's just going to be a bunch of guys who win Norris trophies, and that's it. And maybe that's what it should be. The other aspect of it that I thought was kind of intriguing, and I don't think you can take this away from him, see, in the last 50 years, there are four players in all of hockey who have won six Stanley Cups and also been on seven All-Star teams. So it's not, you're not a plug if you're on seven All-Star teams. And the list was, let me think, what was it again? It was Larry Robinson, Mark Messier, Brian Trotche, and Kevin Lowe. So, I mean, that's pretty elite company to be in. I'm not saying he's equal to those three guys because they all obviously won major awards along the way. But if you can say you're in an elite group to win six cups and have seven All-Star appearances, I think that helps justify it a little bit. But so in today's current Hall of Fame, I think he fits in there, but I'm with you, Drew, that I would like to see the Hall of Fame reserved for the elite of the elite. So when I take my kid there in 20 years, I'm not sitting here and he goes, "Daddy, who's that?" I'll say, "Oh, that's so-and-so. He had four 20-goal seasons and played second line and won a Selke one year." You know, like, that's not what I want to do when I go to the Hall of Fame. But for the way it's become right now, you know, guys like Kevin Lowe and Doug Wilson probably should have been in earlier, but there's a few guys that I think will eventually be in there that will always create controversy.
I was just going to reset. Thursday evening, you're listening to The Illegal Curve. Curvecast, Dustin Nielsen of TSN 1260 in Edmonton is our guest. I turn it over to Dave Minuk now.
You know, Dustin, people love to crap on Winnipeg. They love to crap on Edmonton. They love to crap on Buffalo. Those three cities, actually, I've been to all three. Obviously I live in Winnipeg, but Buffalo, Edmonton, love those cities. But it's funny because a lot of these people don't know what it's like here in the summer. And, you know, Winnipeg is a fantastic place to be in the summer, Manitoba. Edmonton, similarly, you know, and it's beautiful in the valley. So I thought it was really rather curious when Ryan Kessler kind of came out and made his comments about Edmonton. And I thought to myself, what was the purpose of this? What was the reason to just take a dump on a city where, like, for no reason? You know, like, it's just, are you just trying to be a disturber? What was the rationale behind it? And, like, it seemed to get a little bit of traction, not a tremendous amount, but what was the, I'm curious to know from a person who's in Edmonton, what was the response like from folks in Edmonton to his comments about the city?
Well, as I said this morning on my show, Ryan Kessler is better as a troll on Twitter than he was in the National Hockey League. Because he is elite level. This is Ryan Kessler. Like, there's a reason that players in the National Hockey League hated Ryan Kessler. And it's obviously because, for lack of a better term, he was a dick. Yeah. But he'll probably own that. Like, that's just who he was. And he knows that he can drive Edmontonians crazy. Because if you go back to the playoffs in 2017, it was Ryan Kessler who was laying in the crease and literally opened up Cam Talbot's five hole and a puck went through and they reviewed it and didn't call goaltender interference. So Ryan Kessler will always be like enemy. I mean, outside of Matt Tkachuk, he's probably right up there, like the biggest enemy of Oilers fans and the team itself over the last 10 years. So, but he was really like, I mentioned on Twitter this morning, I'm pretty impressed on his side hustle for that group chat thing he kept plugging on Twitter last night. Like, they must have been throwing him a few bucks because he's like, come on, Edmontonians, come on in and have a chat with me. So Kessler's an interesting study. I will say that. And if this is how it's going to be, he's going to be around for a long time driving people crazy. And it'll probably end up working out to be a spitting chicklets like spin-off podcast for Ryan Kessler or something. So he'd fit in well over there for sure.
He'll be on Cameo for $75. He'll send you a voicemail that you can use.
Buddy, guaranteed. He's like 2 years away from being on Cameo, 100%.
Him and Bobo.
What we were referencing was Hot Mike, and we were talking about it, you know, right before we, you know, started the Zoom cast. They've only got 2,518 followers, and I think you're right because – his code word was Kevin544. Like, it made absolutely no sense why he was plugging this thing that nobody's ever heard of. But I agree with you. I mean, he's just, that's who he is. And he's just trying to get everybody riled up And he doesn't know what he's talking about because Edmonton's a great city and they deserve to be a hub city.
It's weird because, like, I'll do most things for a buck as well. But I don't think Ryan Kessler doesn't need to plug some sort of, like, social media platform on his Twitter for money. So maybe he knows the guy or he's doing him a favor or whatever. But, like, as far as Edmonton goes, I moved here 10 years ago and I used to come up, like, on vacation as a kid every once in a while. But, like, I've learned to love this city over the last 10 years. And I see a lot of people texting in the overall discussion of being hub city and like, this is great marketing for our community. And I mean, I'm not too sure somebody's going to look at Edmonton watching in the United States and be like, I'm going for a vacation there at some point. Now, should they? They'd enjoy themselves. There's some things to do and you can get away to the mountains if you want. But I have a hard time believing. I know some people were texting and said, this is a great opportunity for the Oilers to showcase their facilities to free agents. And I'm like, okay, in the end, free agents are going where they're going for money. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's number one. And number two, do we honestly think all the National Hockey League players think that it's winter here 11 months out of the year? Like, people know that we get summer here in Canada. So it's some of the myths about Edmonton I find – you know, a little exaggerated for sure. I don't think Edmonton being a hub city is going to lead to three free agents signing here on bargain basement deals just because it's so beautiful in the summer or the rink is so amazing. I just think you take it for what it is. And if the National Hockey League wants to complete their season, this is probably the best place to try and do it.
Rusty, if we could get away from hockey for just 1 second. Today you had the cartoon draft on your show on 1260. And during my lunch break, because I'm working at home today, in case my boss is listening. I really enjoyed your team, and specifically, I thought Futurama was a very underrated pick, and Inspector Gadget, we're around the same age, and I know Inspector Gadget, Beavis and Butthead. The question I have for you, though, actually I have a two-part question for you in the cartoon draft. Did you take SpongeBob SquarePants because of your children, and how was the critic not taken? Because as far as I'm concerned, I think it was only on the air for 2 years. But to me, that was one of the best cartoons of all time. So I need to know those answers because that was eating away at me as I was listening to that.
Before you answer, Dustin, I just want to point out the irony of a cartoon character asking questions about cartoon crap.
You're not going to pull a huge club out from behind your back right now, are you? Okay, so the cartoon draft was an interesting one. The critic, you're right on the critic. The critic was some of the most clever cartooning I think I remember seeing back in the day. As for SpongeBob SquarePants, like Huss, and they're doing excellent job with their drafts as well. 10 drafts now, and I've won six of them. Like, I've had a lot of success. So my strategy is always try to draft for the masses, right? It's as opposed to my personal favorites. Today I juggle a little bit. I wanted to take Inspector Gadget second overall, but I knew it would be there like fourth. The SpongeBob SquarePants thing, I was sitting there through four rounds and we went to a break. So we had a chance to reset and I was looking at it and I said, I need something that's really popular here to kind of help my vote right now. So I went with SpongeBob SquarePants. My kids are 2 and 4. And we've never watched it. I've never watched an episode of SpongeBob SquarePants. We're not into it yet. So I made the pick. I think I screwed up when I took Looney Tunes number two. I thought Looney Tunes, considering the generations and, you know, all the characters, I thought that would give me a ton of votes. But I guess I should have gone with Family Guy or South Park or something. So overall, a disappointing effort for myself.
My kids are two and four also, Dustin. And it's basically committing a war crime every time they turn on the TV.
Well, like I almost felt like I had to take Paw Patrol just for my kids. Just sacrifice it, right? Like, just the one, just be like, sorry, guys, Daddy didn't win. It was because of your brutal Paw Patrol pick.
Well, it's funny. So today on 1290 here, they did the Canadian draft, things that Canada has brought to the world. And five guys, none of whom have a kid, because Paw Patrol didn't get drafted in there. And I guarantee you that if any of those five guys four guys in the 1290 listeners, if any of them had kids, they would have picked Paw Patrol because we've inflicted that punishment on everybody.
I looked at that draft and I thought Hustler was doing a pretty good job until he put pineapple on pizza. Mm-hmm. And at that point he lost me. That's a sewer job right there.
Was Huss the one that took insulin? Because if he didn't take insulin, he should have taken insulin.
Dustin Nielsen from TSN 1260 in Edmonton. Dustin, appreciate your time this evening. Thanks for joining us here on the Illegal Curvecast. And we'll be in touch with you because it appears as though the center of the hockey world will be based in the capital of Alberta coming up in the next, about a month, I guess, until everybody starts heading down there.
Looking forward to it, boys. Thanks for having me.
Take care, Dustin. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it.
That was Dustin Nielsen from TSN 1260 joining us to talk about the Edmonton as a hub city, the Oilers and the Blackhawks, and basically the cartoon draft, of course, everything along those lines. I'm sort of looking forward to the drafts have all been pretty fun and they've been entertaining, and you know the fact that they've been able to fill the airtime over the last number of months has been very impressive. But I'm sort of looking forward to all that stuff getting pushed to the back burner a little bit and getting back into maybe a regular dose of sports talk, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you mentioned it, Drew. I mean, it's a month from now. Like that's not that long from now, right? Like you guys know time flies. And, you know, we mentioned it earlier in the Zoom cast, right? Like this is the time of year where we're starting to wind down, right? We're talking about free agents. And, you know, we're getting into August, and that's usually when at least the three of us take our month off, and we enjoy August long weekend, and then we get back at it in early September. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, talking about hockey, I mean, you're not only talking about hockey, you're talking about baseball, talking about NBA, MLS. I mean, there's a going on right now, right? I'm getting pretty excited. And, you know, Dusty mentioned that there are most likely going to be some players who test positive in the weeks leading up to August 1st. And there's probably going to be some players that test positive after August 1st. But the reality is those players are probably going to be just as safe in the Edmonton bubble, the Toronto bubble, as they're going to be in the outside public, guys, right? Because we're talking about a world we live in which, you know, you could get the virus at the grocery store if you don't wear a mask, or you could get the virus, you know, out in public, you know, if you're not, well, obviously, you know, we're all being careful, but, you know, you look at what's happening down in the U.S., it's very scary. So, you know, I think it's very fitting that, you know, it's going to be two Canadian cities. It was announced, you know, informally, I guess, on Canada Day, but, you know, it's our sport. And even though it would have been absolutely fine if it was in Vegas, I mean, this is all about, you know, public safety, right? And NHL players and their staffs are more safe in Canada right now than they are in the U.S. It's just fact.
And you know, it's also something that probably needs to be factored in. It's a lot cheaper to be in Canada right now with the Canadian dollar than it is to be in the States. And when you're already in a situation where money is an issue, having the Canadian teams, Canadian cities be your hub cities and paying in Canadian while you're making American is a pretty big opportunity for your organization. So even from a financial perspective, I can't imagine, because like we talked about it with Jesse Granger of The Athletic 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, the casinos would have cost, I couldn't imagine they wouldn't cost a fortune, a heck of a lot more money than your local hotel in Edmonton or Toronto that quite frankly isn't going to be populated anytime soon. So you've got these hotels, which you're going to be paying in Canadian dollars, versus casinos where you're paying a premium because you're not just paying for the hotel rooms, you're paying to lock down those casinos, right? So to me, it just doesn't make a lot of sense, or it makes a whole lot of sense for the NHL from a financial perspective to have this in Canada, because you're saving so much money by not being in the States. So I think from Ezzie's point, which is the primary one, from a health point of view, that's the most important one. That makes a lot of sense. And secondly, from a financial perspective, it also makes a lot of sense for the NHL. And again,
you know, sorry, Drew, I was just going to quickly say the other thing that people I don't think are talking about a lot is that 6 of 7 Canadian teams are in this thing, right? Like that's something
I never really considered that.
Well, it's something that, you know, I don't think, you know, many people have discussed, right? Like you're talking about, you know, just under a third of the teams in the playoffs are in Canada, right? And the point I'm trying to make is you have all these teams in Western Canada, if you want to consider Winnipeg in Western Canada, even though we're right smack dab in the middle. But, you know, doesn't it make sense to have, you know, 4 Canadian teams in a Canadian city? Like, to me, it makes a lot of sense. So we knew it was going to be Toronto. Good for Edmonton, by the way. Like, you know, we've kind of joked around about Jason Kenney and, you know, how he was basically, you know, willing to sell his soul for Edmonton to become a hub city. And, you know, they waited it out and you know, they you know, their wish came true, right? So
I think people were more concerned with the fact that he was willing to sell other people's souls for this to come true, not necessarily his own.
Yeah, exactly. So he was certainly thirsty to have Edmonton as a hub city, and I'm sure the commentary about whether or not that's a smart decision or not has been written and dissected ad nauseum at this point in time. But it appears as though it's going to be Edmonton and Toronto. We expect the announcement any time now. There's the, you know, we're expecting that the NHLPA will be able to vote on the new CBA and the return to play agreement, maybe this weekend with an official approval or voting down. Say that again, Dave.
The Olympics in 2022
and 2026. They're saying that both they'll go to back to China and then they'll go to Italy.
Because that's where everybody wants to go, is to China.
Well, that's where the NHL wants to go. That's where they want to grow their business. leave the politics out of this, Dave.
I don't lose politics. I'm talking about from a health perspective.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I get it. I mean,
it doesn't matter that it's China. I'm saying it's anywhere. Who wants to go anywhere right now?
Dave, you've been to China, so it's not like, you know, it's not like you're...
Look. Right there.
There you go. Speaking of, you know, who wants to go anywhere, I find it very funny, by the way, that Sammy Niku was in town this entire time and nobody knew.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone, there's no Jets in town. And Sammy's like, hi, I've been here the whole time. Because sort of, you know, it's sort of the microcosm of his season as a whole, in that he was always sort of not overlooked, but almost forgotten about, the forgotten man, because of all the injuries and everything that he went through this year, that he's been in town this entire time. And everyone's like, no, there's no Jets in town. And Sammy's like over here in the corner. Hey, I'm still here, guys. I got my kid here now. We're having fun. I'm still here. And it's like, oh, Sammy, you're still here.
I think Dave needs to talk to Sammy to see, you know, what he's been up to. I imagine that, you know, if you go back to March and April and a little bit of May, he was probably just hanging around his apartment or condo. But
he has a new son. He said he's been spending time with his little guy. You know, it's some quality bonding.
A.K.A. Sammy Jr.
There you go.
Changing diapers and doing all that good stuff.
You know all about it, Isaiah. That's right up your alley. You know, you're due to have another kid. It's been long enough. What have you been waiting for?
We talked about this, Drew. I'm going to go see Dr. J. Buenafe probably later in the summer. And, you know, two is enough for me. We've got four in our house. That's all we need. It's a nice, even number.
No, you have actually, as you have six in your house.
I don't get it.
We'll explain it to you later. It's okay. Final thoughts. Let's wrap this up. Final thoughts, Dave Minuk. Give it to you to start.
Lots of fat. What?
Is Dave calling me fat? I have gained a little bit of weight.
No. You're swarthy, big daddy. I would never call you fat.
Just more of you to love.
No,
Rubenesque. Rubenesque.
He is stout, strong.
Zoftic is the word you're looking for.
Good question. No, nothing. I was just going to say lots of Moose features on the website worth checking out. There's something on Christian Vesalainen and David Gustafsson pushing each other towards the NHL. Talked today about some of the young Jets defensive prospects that are, you know, going to be available for the Manitoba Moose next season. I thought actually it was rather interesting. The CHL import draft was happening the other day, and the Winnipeg Ice took Jets 2019 fourth rounder Henry Nikkanen, who I think is a really interesting prospect.
Yeah.
I think he's got, like, I remember being really impressed by him last summer, the way he talked. You kind of get a sense from players, you know, there's a bit of a burn in his saddle because of the fact that he got overlooked as a first, you know, he was seen as a first round draft pick going into last year, a potential first round pick, I should say. And then he slid to the Jets in the fourth round because he had so many injuries. And so you kind of got the sense that he was, you know, kind of burned by that, and it was spurring him on. So he's drafted by the Winnipeg Ice. So I think that's going to be an interesting one because what's the Finnish Dover prospects guy? As you know, what's the head scout of in Dover prospects?
I can visualize him, but I honestly can't remember his name right now.
Yeah, it's, hold on, I'm gonna have it in 1 second.
It's not Sammy, is it?
It's Tommy.
Yoki
Nevelin.
He basically said that
he wasn't good enough in the Liga last year, but he was too good for junior in Finland.
And he also had some injury problems, right, Dave?
So that's right. So I'm just saying, like, from a Jets perspective, And from a fan's perspective, how great an opportunity would it be? Would it for to have him draft, you know, developing here in Winnipeg with the ice, but also under the guidance and eyes of Winnipeg Rust?
Right, and like you said, David, Chevy, Zinger, the scouts, I mean, Jimmy Roy, Mike Keane, they can all go watch him at Wayne Fleming Arena. And I think the other thing, in addition to the Winnipeg ice obviously being in the same city as the Jets, the ice are going to be pretty good next year because, you know, they surprised everyone and made the playoffs, even though the playoffs never happened. But you've got Connor Geeky and you've got Matt Savoy, who were 1-2 picks in the 2019 WHL Bantam Draft. Carson Lambos is going to be a year older. I mean, he's projected to be a pretty high pick. I think he's a 2021 draft. And you're talking about a team that's only going to get better, right? Like the ice when they were in Kootenay.
Peyton Krebs.
Yeah,
Peyton Krebs is a very good player, right? So if he ends up playing a full year, like the ice are going to be stacked. So Henry Nikkanen's coming to a situation as a 19-year-old where he's going to be on a very good ice team. So I agree with you 100%.
If he comes. I mean, there's no guarantee that he comes. If he comes.
Yeah, no, we're going on, like we're saying, that as he's just saying, that it's potential that he could be here.
Right. There's definitely potential. It would make a lot of sense, but there's no guarantee, of course. But
I think a lot, Drew, has to depend on if the WHL season starts on time.
Right? No question. That's true for all these guys, all these prospects that you know are ready to jump to the NHL, particularly from the KHL, that, you know, who knows what's going to happen. You know, in Russia, they're just going to start it up again because it's Russia. You know, they'll be playing hockey come September, like the start of a new season. What does that mean for those prospects? And as it relates to the NHL, because we know they're not going to be eligible to join their teams, the Wild, the Islanders, for example, they're not going to be able to join those teams. And are those guys going to be happy being off the ice and not playing until probably January of 2021?
They're not going to be. You're absolutely right. I think, you know, we're all expecting, you know, when you're talking about junior hockey, I mean, we're expecting the season to start maybe a little bit after it usually starts, but there's so many balls up in the air. We just don't know right now. So, you know, Dave makes a good point. It was one of those kind of selections where, unless you were kind of a hardcore Jets fan that really follows those kind of later draft picks, you would be following it. But also there's a lot else going on in the world right now. Let's be honest, especially the time of year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Nikkanen, I remember when we were doing our show, I mean, he was a guy that, you know, people thought he could be a second rounder, even a late first rounder, Dave, and the Jets got him in the fourth round. So when you kind of write these guys off if they, you know, they're not in the AHL at 19 years old, but you got to remember that 19 years old is very young. And the opportunity maybe with the ice.
Time will tell. We will, of course, keep an eye on that story. As Adele's final word tonight, I just want to give a shout out to my neighbor right next door to me at home, my neighbor Aiden. He was named the Athlete of the Year at Grant Park High School. He's a grade 12 graduate. He's graduating this year. He's MVP of the Grant Park High School basketball team, MVP of the Grant Park High School volleyball team. I'd like to say he learned everything. I'd like to say he learned everything from me, but clearly that is not the case. So shout out to Aiden for being the Athlete of the Year at Grant Park High School. Clearly the very good athlete at both basketball and volleyball. So wanted to give him some props before we wrap up the Curvecast on this Thursday evening. Thank you.
Hold on, Drew. I was going to say, you know, you said that, you know, maybe he's learned some things from you. Yeah. Maybe he's seen some video of you playing tennis or golf at Glendale Golf and Country Club, or maybe he's seen you play some goal in the JSA Floor Hockey League.
Hopefully he hasn't, because nobody wants to see video of that by any stretch of the imagination. And it's if it wasn't clear enough by looking at me from the shoulders down, it's been a long time since I was anything remotely close to an athlete. But Dave can vouch for my softball skills. I had a nice catch on what was that, Monday night, Dave? You have no recollection? None.
I don't.
Huh? Yeah, okay. I woke my kids up when I came home to tell them all about daddy's accolades, but clearly it didn't really make any sort of impact aside from that. That's it for this Thursday evening edition of the Illegal Curvecast. It'll be up on the website. What's that website, Dave Manuk?
LegalCurve.com.
There you go. You're a company man. It'll be up on that website on Friday morning, Friday late morning, Friday early afternoon, somewhere around there. It's available wherever you get your podcasts. Remember to rate us, review us, subscribe to us. And if you're watching this on YouTube.com, there's going to be a subscribe button. Is it up in the corner or is it down below? Not sure if it's up or down.
But everybody on YouTube always says, hit the subscribe button and then hit the other button. Hit the like button.
Below Dave, and we'll put it up high. So
hit the subscribe button and hit the like button.
Hit the like button down here. Down here. There you go. Hit the subscribe button up here. And then you can be alerted to every time we do a new one of these Curvecasts. And, that's it for this Thursday edition. And we'll have some more news, hopefully sooner rather than later, regarding what we hope to be our imminent return on the airwaves Saturday morning on our good TSN 1290 here in Winnipeg.
I can't wait, boys.
I'm a little, not thrilled about having to be in the same room with you, but that's I'll get over
it. Long time, Drew. It's been, 4 months now?
I can go a little longer.
13 days.
I miss you guys. I mean, this is fun on Zoom and everything like that, but I need to smell you guys.
Ugh.
And you don't want to smell me, though.
Three-shirt Ginsburg, as they like to say in the summer. Big thank you to Dustin Nielsen from TSN 1260 in Edmonton for joining us earlier on the program. For Dave Minuk, for Ezra Ginsburg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks very much. This has been the Illegal Curvecast.